In the United States, there are more firearms and ammunition dealers than McDonald's, over 14,500 of them. In fact, Maricopa County has the most dealers for all for all licensing types. That's guns, destructive devices, and ammunition, with over 1,100 dealers here. The next biggest county is Harris County, Texas, where Houston is located, and they have 400 fewer dealers there. Now, this doesn't and can't take into account the number of hobbyists that manufacture guns and ammo on their own. Hobbyists like Mesa man Douglas Haig. He was charged last week by the FBI for conspiring to sell and manufacture armor-piercing bullets without a license. The agency says he sold 720 rounds of tracer bullets, along with armor-piercing bullets, to the Las Vegas shooter who murdered 58 people. Even though Haig had that amount of ammunition on hand, he still was considered a hobbyist and sold casually out of his house and at gun shows. Our next guest is Trent Stidley. He's an assistant professor at the University of Denver who studies federal firearms licensing. And Trent, Douglas Haig's attorney said that 720 rounds of ammo is a quote-unquote routine transaction. So is that the case?
So federal law on this topic is less than clear. Generally, to sell firearms and ammunition in the United States as a business, you're obligated to get what's called a federal firearms license. And there's different categories of what that entails. But to be a manufacturer of ammunition and sell it for a livelihood, you do need to have a federal firearms license. Now, the problem is defining what in the business is. Mm-hmm. There's not a number to reflect when you are or are not in business. So the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, has a difficult task in trying to figure out, who's a hobbyist, who's a guy that goes to a gun show and might choose to just sell a couple of guns that he's had for a while. He just enjoys haggling, just enjoys collecting and trading, mm-hmm. Versus somebody who's doing this for profit and a livelihood. And the same thing goes with ammunition. So it falls in that purview of when are you selling ammunition as a livelihood. And generally that also has like tax implications,
right?
Because if you're making ammunition and selling it, there is a federal excise tax on that. And if you're not meeting the letter of the law on that, you fall into tax trouble as well. So it depends. There's lots of people who do hand load their own ammunition. They might have a firearm that shoots a specific caliber or shoots a specific pressure, where the gun operates with an ammunition that's not readily available, so they'll make their own. And there are people who reload their ammo to save money. And I knew hunters back in Oklahoma who would make specific rounds for hunting specific game. So mm-hmm. It's pretty common for people to make their own ammunition. Selling it gets to be kind of a tricky topic, though.
So how big is that broader industry of selling ammunition and guns, especially homemade ones?
Homemade, it's hard to say how many people are doing it without a license. When we look at the federal firearms licensing data, there are about 14,586 total people in the U.S. who have a firearms license that would allow them to manufacture ammunition. In Arizona, there's 767 people who have that type of licensing. And I was actually really excited when you guys contacted me, because a lot of my research deals with looking at this federal firearms licensing data, and Maricopa County has the most federal firearms licenses in the U.S.
Wow.
At the county level.
So this is a big industry, especially here.
Yeah. Maricopa County makes up about 1.4% of all the FFLs in the entire U.S.
Is this industry sort of hidden, or is it just something that the broader public doesn't really know about unless you're sort of in this world?
I would definitely say it's not hidden. I would say that if you're somebody who owns firearms and is interested in shooting, you know about FFLs and you know about where to go to find where this stuff is being manufactured. So I would hesitate to say in any way that it's hidden or dark or not well known. The total numbers that are kind of available on this suggest that about maybe one out of every four to one out of every three Americans owns a gun. So maybe it's something where 66% of the country doesn't think about this very often.
Right.
But for that other third of the U.S., it's very prevalent in their mind where FFLs are and where they're located. And the ATF publishes their FFL data, so you can find business locations online really easy.
Right. And you mentioned that the federal government has some trouble tracking these things. How do the regulations work around this? How do they work at gun shows? How do they work if you're buying ammunition or a gun out of someone's house?
Sure. It all goes back to that idea of whether or not you're in the business and if you have an FFL. Generally speaking, if you are doing this as if you're buying and selling guns or making a couple of rounds for your friend where they provide you all the materials and you're just putting the cartridge together, it's not regulated unless you have an FFL. Once the ATF knows or has evidence to show that you are engaged in what they would consider to be a business, then they'll start a prosecution process. But if you don't have an FFL, by and large, you don't have to do things like get a background check for a firearm sale or to conduct a firearm sale. But if you have an FFL, the law is much more stringent. If you have an FFL, you need to do a background check for every firearm sale that you do. Ammunition varies from state to state, but generally, you don't have to do background checks for ammunition in the U.S.
So then what is the liability involved for someone who has a license and doesn't?
So going back to the 1986 Protection of Firearm Owners Act, generally speaking, if a manufacturer or retailer doesn't have cause to believe that somebody's going to commit a crime, they're not liable for what someone else does with ammunition or firearms. The responsibility falls on the possessor of the firearms and ammunition. If a gun dealer suspects that somebody is trying to do something like a straw purchase where they're buying a gun for somebody else so they don't have to do the background check. Mm-hmm. If they conduct that firearm sale and they suspect that this purchaser is doing so to avoid the letter of the law, then it might be their responsibility. But generally, the ATF has been considering the fact that it's the responsibility of the possessor, not the dealer.
Trent Stidley is an assistant professor of criminology and sociology at the University of Denver. Trent, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.